This is Jim Colby from Vox Urbana, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Jen Dubois, one of the organizers of the Better Together Festival that's in Pearling this weekend on Sunday, November 14th. Dubois is also performing, opening for Catskills' Amy Rigby at the Colony Cafe November 11th. We'll also hear from Ali E. S. Wist, one of the co-founders of the Muttermore Show on Montez Press Radio, interviewed by WOOC. And we'll also tune in for new sounds from Pamela Z from her 2020 albums A Secret Code and Echolocation on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. It all begins after the local news, which is next.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Why did you say that?
Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Up from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Kate Lisa is reporting for the Johnson Newspaper Corporation that six upstate correctional facilities will close next winter after union officials representing state corrections staff met with the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision leaders early November 8th. The six prison facilities to permanently close in early 2022 include Downstate Correctional in Fishkill in Dutchess County, Ogdensburg Correctional in Ogdensburg, St. Lawrence County, Southport Correctional, Pine City, Chemung County, Rochester Correctional in Monroe County, the Willard Drug Treatment Campus in Seneca County, and the Moriah Shock Incarceration Correctional Facility in Mineville, Essex County. DOC's spokesperson Thomas Maley said, quote, New York State continues to be at the forefront of some of the nation's most progressive criminal justice reforms by spearheading smart and fair policies that have resulted in a drastic decline in the incarcerated population, unquote. Maley said docs had carefully reviewed operations at 50 correctional facilities statewide for potential closure. The review was based on a variety of factors, including physical infrastructure, program offerings, facility security level, specialized medical and mental health services, the proximity of other facilities, and more. Quote, if people have been paying attention to the past decade of poor decisions made by our elected leaders in Albany, today's news shouldn't come as a shock to anyone, unquote. New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association President Michael Power said in a statement, quote, the state's progressive policies are costly and need to be funded somehow. Sadly, it's at the expense of the hardworking men and women of Neyscoba, unquote. As of November 8th, the total incarcerated population in state correctional facilities was 31,469, a reduction of more than 12,700 people since January 1st, 2020, and a 56% decline since 1999, Maley said. Docs will offer impacted employees voluntary transfer or priority employment at other facilities and state agencies following the closure, and does not anticipate related layoffs, he said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Columbia County's Director of Public Health, Jack Mapp, said there will be COVID-19 vaccinations for younger children in local schools beginning next week in an interview on WGXC November 8th. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently approved a smaller dose of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 through 15. On November 15th, the Columbia County Department of Health holds a vaccine clinic in the Hudson schools from 4 to 7 p.m. and one at the Conic Hills from 3 to 6 p.m. On November 16th, there will be vaccine clinics from 4 to 7 p.m. at schools in Germantown and New Lebanon. And on November 17th, the Chatham Firehouse will give out vaccines from 3 to 6 p.m. for students from the Chatham and Ichabod Crane schools as well as the public. Mapp said the sign-ups for the vaccines for children are available through the schools.
So the way it's working right now is that the school districts are getting out the links to parents via text and emails. Some of them may be doing robocalls. The Chatham Firehouse is open. That link is open, so parents can sign up for that. Now they can go right on our website and sign up for that one.
The Ravenna News Herald is reporting New York Assemblymember Chris Taig is asking his constituents in the 102nd Assembly District to take a new survey issued by the New York State Public Service Commission to evaluate the availability, quality, and pricing of broadband internet service statewide for households and businesses. Constituents are requested to complete both the internet speed test and the survey on the Public Service Commission's website to help the PSC develop a detailed internet access map and produce a report of findings and recommendations. The commission's report will be submitted to the governor as well as Senate and Assembly leaders in May 2022. Those officials will then be able to act upon its recommendations to improve internet service in underserved areas. Residents should go to empirestatebroadband.com to take the speed test followed by the survey. It takes less than 10 minutes to complete. Read more about the story in the Ravenna News Herald.
Brendan J. Lyons and Rebecca F. Ward report in the Times Union that the state police are investigating allegations of widespread absentee ballot fraud in Rensselaer County in this fall's election. Several election contests in the city of Rensselaer that remain undecided could be affected by the investigation. There were a high number of absentee ballots issued to political operatives and campaign volunteers on behalf of voters who authorized the individuals to handle their ballot in the county. And operatives from both the Republican and Democratic Party are pointing fingers. In the city of Rensselaer, Republican incumbent Mayor Michael E. Stammel and Democratic challenger former Mayor Richard J. Mooney are separated by a handful of votes, so the outcome hinges on the absentee votes. A criminal complaint filed by Todd Rutecki, a campaign volunteer for the Democrat Mooney, has sparked an investigation. Sean Redden, a local Mason, claims he never authorized anyone to apply for an absentee ballot on his behalf. But public records show an absentee ballot application allegedly signed by Redden was time-stamped at the County Board of Elections on October 21st. The application gave Teresa Merriman authorization to pick up a blank ballot for Redden. She is a clerk on the county legislative staff with Stammel, the Republican candidate, who also serves as chairman of the legislature. Merriman was registered to pick up 45 ballots on behalf of Rensselaer voters under name variations including Teresa Merriman, Terry Merriman, and Terry Mahan. Merriman did not say exactly why she used so many different names on the application. She said in a statement, and I quote, "I am a lifelong resident of Rensselaer, and some residents know me by my married name of Merriman, and some know me by my maiden name of Mahar. I have worked on these campaigns for 2 decades and have always conducted myself honestly and ethically," end quote. Ed McDonald, the Democratic Election Commissioner in Rensselaer County, said about 66 absentee ballots were handled on behalf of about 90 residents of an elderly care residence in North Troy, but he claims some of those residents felt pressured to sign the absentee ballot applications. McDonald said, and I quote, "We started getting phone calls from people, more so friends of residents, who were reaching out on their behalf because the residents were feeling intimidated by the candidate to actually get the ballot and give it to the person. I reached out to the State Board of Elections, and I said I had spoken to 3 different people. However, of the 3 people, none of them were willing to file a complaint," end quote. Rich Crist, a Republican political operative in Rensselaer County, said the Republican Party focused on getting as many absentee ballots as possible. Chris said, and I quote, "This is part of our overall campaign effort where our candidates knocked on thousands of doors, made many calls and or sent messages to reach out to voters, and made a significant effort to get voters to the polls or have their votes registered, recognizing the pandemic might cause some to be hesitant and that rules and laws had been changed to accommodate those concerns," end quote. Republicans are now questioning an absentee ballot submitted by Mooney's brother, John, on behalf of a 46-year-old Rensselaer man who has been hospitalized for COVID-19 and was on a ventilator when he would have signed the application on October 25th. Bo Duffy, a spokesperson for the state police on November 5th, confirmed that their agency is, and I quote, "investigating a ballot fraud complaint involving the election in the city of Rensselaer. I can't go into further detail since the investigation is open," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The New York State Office for the Aging on November 8th released a presentation recognizing 90 senior honorees statewide for their volunteer service in celebration of Older New Yorkers Day. 4 community volunteers from Columbia and Greene counties were recently honored by NYSOFA: Barbara Caldera of Earlton, Pat Collins of Chatham, Duncan McPherson of Freehold, and Shirley McSenia of Stockport were nominated by their respective county offices for the aging for recognition. A registered nurse, Caldera stepped up to volunteer during the COVID-19 pandemic. She created a spreadsheet of volunteers, assisted at weekly testing sites, and began contact tracing in Greene County. She spent days working in full PPE on the front lines to help public health staff. She has also recently been assisting with vaccine administration in multiple roles. Collins has been a regular volunteer for the Columbia County Office for the Aging's Meals on Wheels program since 1997, delivering meals in the Chatham area. A cancer survivor, she is also a volunteer with the American Cancer Society and has also helped patients with transportation to medical and treatment appointments. McPherson helped his recently widowed neighbor with her daily routines, including housekeeping, when she experienced health issues. He continues to help as a community volunteer while also continuing as a caregiver. In her 30-plus years of volunteerism, McSenia has been an active member of the Columbia Memorial Hospital Auxiliary since 1989, serving in all capacities, including a 6-year period as president. She currently oversees the hospital's patient registration desk and schedules the volunteers who manage it. She also volunteers her time at the second show, the Warren Street Thrift Store, operated by the Hospital Auxiliary, as is an active member of the Stockport Fire Department and a key fundraiser for the Stockport Youth Program. Statewide, more than 935,000 people age 55 or older contribute roughly 495 million hours of service to their communities annually. This translates into a yearly economic output of $13.8 billion. Read more at aging.ny.gov.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that the criminal complaint filed in Albany County against former Governor Andrew Cuomo includes a transcript with a misstatement by the alleged victim, Brittany Commisso. The Albany County Sheriff's Office filed the criminal complaint against Cuomo 2 weeks ago, even though the Albany County District Attorney was unaware that would happen. Albany County District Attorney David Soares said that his office was still, and I quote, in the middle, end quote, of investigating allegations of sexual harassment against Governor Cuomo when Sheriff Craig Apple announced a criminal complaint. Soares' office now says that criminal complaint is, and I quote, potentially defective, end quote, and that he has turned over potentially, and I quote, exculpatory, end quote, evidence to Cuomo's defense counsel. But Apple's criminal complaint, according to the Times Union, and I quote, includes an excerpt from his alleged victim's sworn statement to investigators with the state attorney general's office in which she misstated the sequence of events that she said unfolded in the governor's private office last December, end quote. The criminal complaint does not include her corrected statement in that same interview. Commisso alleges that Cuomo reached under her blouse, touching one of her breasts over her bra last year in the governor's mansion. Cuomo is now scheduled to be arraigned on January 6th after Soares successfully asked for a delay last week. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And Abigail Rubel reports in the Times Union that the State Gaming Commission announced November 8th that it awarded mobile sports betting licenses to Ballybet, BetMGM, DraftKings Sportsbook, Caesars Sportsbook, PointsBet, Resorts World, Rush Street Interactive, Wynn Interactive, and FanDuel Sportsbook. The announcement came earlier than the December 6th deadline, as officials hope to have legal sports betting up and running in New York in time for the Super Bowl. It will take 90 to 120 days between the awarding of the licenses and the beginning of betting here. State officials have also issued ancillary licenses to vendors who provide geolocation services to make sure that bets are placed in New York and as the betting apps are tested. New York is taxing 51% of the revenue from the vendors. Currently, sports betting is allowed at casinos in New York, and legislators approved legalized mobile sports betting in April as part of the state budget. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 60 degrees. There will be scattered showers on Tuesday night, mainly after 4 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Wednesday, scattered showers mainly before 7 a.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 59 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Tuesday, November 9th at 90.7 FM. Including at 10 a.m., it's time for the Forgotten Geek Show from Catskill's Corey McClaskand. And then at 11 a.m., we hear the Early Electro Mix Show, today with tracks from Nam June Paik, Pierre Henry, and Philip Menard, among others. Then we head live to Ulster County for the Overlook Show with Rob Saffer after the local news at noon, and today he's revisiting some old John Coltrane music. At 2 p.m., it's time for the Algorithm as Ritual show, today with tracks from Genesis Breyer Peerage, Pete Seeger, Dee Sherman, Mark Leckie, and others. Then it's 3 p.m., time for the Radio Art Hour with Gordon Panovic and Scanner among the featured artists today. There's a sample platter at 7 p.m. on Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, the radio show about the movies. Then Andy French is in with Crawl Out from the Fallout at 8 p.m. And Dan Seward is live at the Battlefield Earth Show from somewhere in Columbia County at 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, November 9th. Early this morning, we see the temperature range is 35 in Wemple and 45 in Winchell. Don't worry, things are going to warm up, because after some patchy fog this morning, we will have a mostly clear day with a high of 60 degrees happening around 2 p.m. Overnight, a spot of rain or two and a low of 44. Tomorrow will be dry with a sunny afternoon and a high of 58 degrees. Wednesday night temperatures fall to 32 degrees. Thursday will have increasing clouds and a high of 57. Friday, those clouds turn into rain. Stay tuned. The nearest expected snowfall today is 1,700 miles away in Wyoming. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:26 a.m., high tide at 6:14 a.m., low tide again at 12:30 p.m., and high tide again at 6:35 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 49 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:28 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:34 a.m. Looking way up, we see a solar wind stream arriving today is expected to cause polar region magnetic unrest. Solar wind speed is currently 376 kilometers per second at 5.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions for daytime is poor and fair for nighttime. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 41. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Adam Weinert of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
2 weeks, 14 days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit with
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life,
a complete, fully stocked first aid kit,
a heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease,
extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks,
a radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection, every second of each hour of every day. See a survive-all shelter now.
Ha ho, eh, meh, ha ho,
this, you can say things prophetic, for the image, driving, and living.
I asked him if he'd look at it. He says this.
That was Pamela Z with He Says Yes from Echo from the 2021 album A Secret Code on the radio at WGXC.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We're talking about people making ends meet in this country. It's more than a disgrace. It is just a tragedy.
Economist Jeffrey Sachs in West Virginia Monday criticized Senator Joe Manchin's pushback against the Build Back Better plan's $1.75 trillion price tag. Sachs noted it amounts to less than 1% of the nation's income.
Can't afford that, Senator? Well, yeah, if you have to give everything to the rich so you don't take a penny from them, then you can't afford it.
Meanwhile, President Biden's approval rating dropped to a new low of 38%. New polling reveals nearly two-thirds of Americans don't want Biden to run for a second term, and 58% oppose Trump running in 2024. With the falling poll numbers and the upset in Virginia's gubernatorial race, Republicans are optimistic about their odds of flipping other governor's offices in 2022. The GOP currently holds 27 governor's offices. Democrats have 23, and 36 are up for grabs next year, including Florida, where incumbent Republican Ron DeSantis announced he'll run again. Senate Republicans introduced an amendment to the 2022 Defense Authorization Bill to block $450,000 settlement payments to migrant families separated at the border. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma.
The majority of American people, I don't even have to ask them if they think that people that had illegally crossed the border should get $450,000 and families of those who had died in the line of duty serving in our military should get $100,000. I don't even have to ask that question. I already know where they are.
The payments would come from the DOJ to resolve lawsuits alleging forced separation subjected children to psychological trauma. The House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot issued six new subpoenas Monday, including former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and John Eastman, an attorney behind Trump's strategy to overturn the election results.
Nothing is more important than our children's health. It's up to us to keep them safe.
In Virginia, First Lady Jill Biden and U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy kicked off a nationwide effort to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations for children ages 5 to 11.
It's about a third of the dose of that adults get. But it also went through a clinical trial specific to the 5 to 11 age group.
The CDC recommended the use of the pediatric Pfizer vaccine on November 2nd. At the COP26 summit, former President Barack Obama encouraged young people to apply political pressure in the climate fight, but warned they need to accept compromises.
In a lot of our countries, there are people who are afraid of change. And even if they're not full climate deniers, they're worried that the transition is not going to benefit them, and it might even hurt them.
Obama also criticized China and Russia's leaders for not doing their part to reduce emissions. Cole Hemstreet contributed reporting. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy online at publicnewsservice.org.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
Next, we hear from sound artist Pamela Z with the song Pop Titles You from her 2021 album Echolocation.
You stand out. You started laughing. You started me dreaming. You started something. You started something. You stayed away too long. You stayed on my mind. You stepped into my life. You stepped out of a dream. You stepped out of a dream. You stepped out of a dream. You still get to me. You still got it. You still move me. You still want me. You stole my heart. You stopped loving me. You sure got this old redneck feeling blue. You sure know how to party. You sure know how to use the things you use. You sure love to ball. You sure make cheating seem easy. You sure tell it like it is, George Jones. You take a little bit of it home. You take me for granted. You take me to heaven. You take me up. You take my breath away. You take my breath away. You take my breath away. You take my heart away. You take my heart home with you. You take my heart home with you one piece at a time. You talk just like my mom. You talk that talk. You talk too much. You talk too much. You talk too much. You taught me to love again. You taught my heart to sing. You tear me up. You tell him, Ivory. You tell me. You tell me. You tell me. You tell me that I'm falling down. You tell me why. You tell me your dreams. I'll tell you mine. Use the night and the music. You think I still care. You think I'm crazy. You think you're tough. You thought. You threw your love on me too strong. You thrill me. You told him. You told me. You told me, baby. You told me you care. You too. You too. You took advantage of me. You took advantage of me. You took all the rambling out of me. You took everything but me. You took her off my hands. You took me all the way. You took me in the name of love. You took my heart. You took my heart away. You took my heart by surprise. You took my life away. You took my love. You took my money. You took the best part of me. You took the words right out of my heart. You took the words right out of my mouth. You touched my life. You touched my life.
Here it is. Now on the phone, we have Jen Dubois, one of the organizers of the Better Together Festival that is coming up November 14th at Shinglekill Falls in Perling. Jen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so tell us, I guess, first what the Better Together Festival is and maybe a little about Shinglekill Falls if people haven't been there before.
Sure. Shinglekill Falls House B&B is run by my friend Jill Laminek, and it was her idea to have a little bit of a soft opening for the expansion of the venue. She has a B&B out there, but she also does weddings and larger events. And she is building a pavilion outdoors, and we just had KZ Concrete Flatwork just came out this week and laid a beautiful concrete slab. And so she wanted to bring people around. She's got electrical work happening and things going on to be able to allow people to throw events and gather with larger groups and bigger event sizes. So she originally wanted to do somewhat of a soft opening for this. But, you know, we've been having wonderful weather. It's a beautiful big space. So after we talked about it for a little bit, I realized, you know, you're really asking me to produce a festival for you here, you know, thinking about what she really wanted. Her vision was music and vendors and intergenerational, you know, get down, basically. So we decided to just go for it. And that was on 5 weeks from the date. It was about, you know, 3.5 weeks ago or so, a little more than that. With a little over a week to go, we're doing it. You know, it's a real grassroots effort. It's primarily pulled together by women. We got a lot of great men working with us too, but yeah, it's the brainchild of my friend Jill, kind of watered by me and growing into something beautiful.
So if when people arrive November 14th, what will be going on?
So basically we're going to be it's November obviously in upstate New York, so there will be tents, and the large tent will be heated. Everything is coming from Big Top Tent Rentals. All of the little surrounding towns, we tried to get businesses involved from each of the towns, Greene and Columbia counties and beyond. So we've got heated tents, we've got vendor fair, holiday market style vibe, full schedule of entertainment on the day. We're going to go 2 to 7 p.m. And Shinglekill Falls House is out on Mountain Avenue in Perling. The address is about 500 to 512. I think it's several buildings along there where the falls are. And it's right across from the roller rink in Perling. People will be able to use the roller rink's parking, actually, day of. The Snyder family has very graciously allowed us to accommodate overflow there.
Because they haven't reopened yet. The roller rink hasn't reopened? Is that true? Or?
It's true. I mean, some of the businesses just really didn't lend themselves. I mean, this thing is about coming together post-pandemic and how everyone had to pivot and bounce back and what that looked like, you know, for everyone was different, especially when you have a small family business and, you know, anyone in the group is high risk or elderly or anything like that. You know, it really kind of puts a damper on the idea of gathering together a whole bunch of people to swirl around in a contained space, you know, so roller rink wasn't
breathing heavy too.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't like, you know, having an outdoor drive-in or outdoor venue. So this is, you know, out here at Shinglekill, it's kind of pivoting for Jill and for me after some of the things that we were planning to do coming up on pandemic and then through pandemic had to be canceled. So figuring out how to gather people safely and how that looks different now. And, you know, working with the teams of people and the individuals, basically, to have everybody come together and do what they do, but do it as much as possible, you know, and as safely contained as possible, and then come together in the same way.
Yeah. So this will be a great opportunity to, if people are worried about the Christmas gifts or holiday gifts they're considering, and that they're going to be difficult to get if they're made in China, that, you might be able to find some gifts that are don't have what is it called, delivery issues.
Right. No, there's no overhead here for this. We have the vendors. That's one of the ways that we wanted to support the community. There's no vendor fee. There's no percentage. It's just about them coming out and doing their thing. So we have, you know, it's free to attend, and everyone can come. The vendors are a la carte. So if people wanted to buy Christmas gifts, we have different things. We have Lilac Hill Farm is coming from Earlton with goat's milk soaps and lotions and jams and things like that. We have, you know, sweets from the cakery, and C&B Kitchen is doing the food all day, cooking over the open fire. We'll have candles from Hudson Rose Company. We have Steve's Clothing coming out, doing a vintage pop-up clothing shop for us, all snuggly mittens and hats and sweaters and the like. So, you know, regardless of what people are looking for, if they're just looking to come out and hang out and have a few drinks, we'll have Old Factory Brewing will be there with beer. We have Left Bank Ciders for cider. And then the Cooper's Daughter Spirits from Old York Farm will be there. So it's very social, but also, yeah, they'll be shopping and then entertainment all day. I mentioned the schedule 2 to 7 p.m. So, you know, as Jill's running a wedding venue, everybody will be played in by my friend Ed Wasilewski. I will play guitar for us on the day to kick it off. And we have the Farrell School of Irish Dance actually coming out. They have their regionals shortly after that. I think it's the week of Thanksgiving. So they're going to come. We got them a proper dance floor so they can really fly high and kind of do their thing one more time on a trial run for their community before they go to compete at regionals. And we have a full stage. Then we have a set by DJ Neva Wartell, Music for the Masses. She'll help us move around the world and through Galicia and all down in Central and South America, Africa. She's, as you know, ethnomusicologist, and will, you know, help shape our day and celebrate with us. And then headlining the festival is Blueberry, a four-piece band out of Woodstock Sorority's, my friend Gwen Snyder Siegel and her band.
Yes,
and
they've played.
Excited to have them.
They've played a couple of our New Year's Eve events before.
Yeah, just magical, witchy, woodsy vibes. You know, we're gonna just get out there and we'll have fires going, and like I said, food and drink all day. Lots of vendors. They're gonna have my friend Brent at Limekiln Farms is loaning us a little a pen for the goats, and the local flora and fauna club, Kathy Anise, is gonna come out with the kids so that they can host baby goats from Lilac Hill. So the goats that are coming with the lady who sells the goat's milk soaps and things, that'd be little baby animals for people to kind of ooh and ah at and maybe pet a little bit. So a little something for everyone. Lawn games, you know, that kind of stuff. It seems like we're going to end up with beautiful weather for a little while yet. So we're hoping on a, you know, pushing 60-degree day. It could be really, really one nice last hurrah, you know?
It is supposed to get a little warmer next week, and we'll see if that lasts until November 14th. But at least the leaves still seem to be on the trees a little later this year.
A bit, yeah. Everything is still really beautiful. And, I walked out yesterday for meetings, picked several cherry tomatoes off my garden path on the way just as a little snack. It's still... It was a nice little gift. You know, the seasons are a little confused, but people are ready to snuggle down into winter, I think, reasonably so. So we're going to welcome that in with this festival.
And is there anyone you want to mention that we forgot to mention so far that's going to be performing or vending or showing up with animals or?
Well, actually, the performances are all being supported by, thank you for saying that. Catskill Concerts has been wonderful to us. My friend Terry Lynch and Eric DeLage will be there doing sound all day so that the bands really have the support that they need to sound great and look great. They'll be lit up. Everything will be, because it will go from day to night. So that was one of the things to want to just to have a really nice long hang with everyone. So, yeah, that the work of those guys has been really integral to pulling this all together. If you don't have sound and lighting, you don't have anything in the middle of the woods. You can't do it. So that's been huge. And then let me see. Oh, we have, yes, Caro Historical Society. I want to give a shout out to Robert, the historian. He will be on site giving tours, actually. So Shinglekill Falls House is there near Tumblin Falls House. And the neighbors have agreed also to keep the houses vacant so folks can tour them So there'll be a little walking tour between the two houses and to be able to see the falls from both sides, essentially.
Ah.
That'll be a great day. What else do we not say? I think, you know, we're pretty much recovering. Oh, my friend Rose Santiago will be there doing tarot readings for the day. So if people are into that sort of thing, they can sign up and come out and have their cards read. That's a little fun thing to do.
Is there
telling for the season coming up? We'll see what happens.
Is there a website people can go to find out all the information about this?
The website for the venue is shinglekill.com. But it is on Facebook and Instagram, Shingle Kill Falls B&B, at Shingle Kill Falls BB on Instagram, or my own page, at Jen Dubois on Instagram. They can find me there. And there's a link in the bio to the Facebook event as well. So that is a lot
and
more of the details.
At least for
the Shingle Kill Falls site is a little bit under construction, as a lot of people's websites have been, with the pivoting and figuring out what they're actually doing, you know, and how their services are changing. So if people aren't seeing the festival information there, they can find it on our social media.
But Kara locals will know to go across the street from the roller rink.
Yes, across from the roller rink, and it's okay to park there.
And I think you also have another show coming up this week.
I do. You know, when it rains, it pours, as they say. So I did tell Jill that I would do this on the short turnaround, and you know, I think as we all are, just kind of collecting those little signs that we're on the right track and on the right path. And I was thrilled to have my friend Amy Rigby call me and ask if I would open for her in support of her gig at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on the 11th. So it's Thursday, right before the festival, 3 days before. I'll be out there, and she's going to play with her trio that night, which is herself, Reckless Eric, and Doug Weigel. So yeah, just a lot of community connections. They live in Catskill, but Amy and Eric do. But I think Doug still lives in Woodstock, and so we'll be out there with some of the Woodstock crowd. And then hopefully we'll see some of that crowd come to Greene County for the few days later.
And is that on the Colony has an outdoor stage and an indoor stage? Which one is that?
Well, I believe we're back inside now.
They're back inside. I think they were outdoors in September and maybe October, and now they're going back in there.
I suppose, and if it's beautiful, maybe we will be outside. I'm not sure. I'm not going to rule anything out, or you know, we know we have to be able to be ready to change on a dime these days. But as far as I know, we're inside.
And that's the Colony Cafe, like in downtown Woodstock, I guess you would tell people.
Yes.
if there is such a thing as
just drive on through, you'll
and
spot a few places.
And maybe people haven't heard your music before. How would you describe that?
Maybe they haven't. I just started performing again after taking some solid time off. I you know, my last show pre-pandemic was February of 2020, and then I played last month at the beginning of October out in Woodstock for the reproductive rights rally on the green. And you know, it just felt really good to be in front of people again. And I think it's new. You know, most of the stuff I'll be playing is new material that I wrote, you know, while we were all isolated. And so maybe it's that they haven't heard it yet. And I got myself a little different equipment set up and practiced with a loop pedal, which I'm now implementing into the show. So yeah, new material and just very much about connecting and reconnecting, I guess, and accountability. You know, through some of the reflection that we have all been going through the past couple of years. You know, some maturing comes with that, I guess. And having everything be so quiet, it became a little easier to listen to ourselves again, I think, to a degree. So that informed my practice a lot as an artist. And I'm excited for people to hear the new stuff.
Yeah, it seems like
a couple of older ones, too. I do have a couple of diehard fans coming out that'll want to hear a song or two that they know. So
it does seem like some artists have taken the time during the pandemic to sort of pivot or reinvent themselves or change slightly.
I think you're right. I mean, it's definitely been true for me. It was a chance to really sort of, you know, just sit with it and go back to making art from a place that you did, you know, as a child or just very intuitively. And I think, yeah, that really informed a lot of my friends and myself in our practice. I think you're right.
All right. We've been talking with Jen Dubois, who is helping to put together the Better Together Festival that is at the Shinglekill Falls in Perling on November 14th and is also performing at the Colony Cafe with Catskills' Amy Rigby on November 11th. I think it's colonycafe.com is probably their website.
Probably so.
I think that's what it is. I know I've been there before, but if you Google Colony Cafe, you'll get there quickly.
It'll pop right up, yeah.
Anything else you want to tell us about?
I think we're covering it. I mean, we just want to, like, really you know what? I did forget one business, a Hudson business, the cakery. I don't think I mentioned the cakery coming with their sweets. But, you know, we're trying to just make sure that there's such an overwhelming show of support for this, and just trying to make sure that we're showing all the gratitude we can. And if I missed anyone, I'm so sorry, and thank you, and I'll make it up to you. but a lot of great people coming together to get behind Jill to do this thing, so I'm really proud to help her produce it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I haven't tasted the cakery yet. I don't for people with a sweet tooth, you needed to mention that.
Yes, definitely an important part. And that's the thing, too, is like vendors, you know, part of why we want to do this is to really sow those stitches of connection and make it easy for people to network and to set up. You know, if they don't do the thing that someone wants, then, you know, maybe someone does, and we can boost each other and lift each other up. So there were times where a vendor said, you know, I'm double booked and I can't be there, but my friend does this, and it would be great if, you know, maybe she could be there if you're interested. And that happened a few times where, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It was last minute to pull it all together. I mean, 5 weeks sounds like a long time until you're trying to organize a whole festival in the woods where there's nothing and everything has to happen on a timeline. So, you know, it's really definitely about coming together and just always kind of giving that referral or just reaching back for someone, you know, to do this. And so Jill, as a wedding venue, wants to help sew those stitches of connection to people who would have relevance for them to be there at other times or other events. But she intends to start a market, I think Monday nights is, you know, with a little input and from the community and from the vendors, hoping to have it be a weekly thing as the weather warms up again and the pavilion actually goes in, and just a place where people can gather more regularly. So then it would be, you know, a chance for more vendors to come, and that would develop over time, and just people would know that they could come and have a really good time. Like some of these other social markets and have really become a place, you know, for community to spend one night a week just hanging out with each other, you know. And I know that's what she's about, and she wants to create that out there. So it's happening.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today to tell us about the Better Together Festival. Again, that's Sunday, November 14th at the Shinglekill Falls in Perling, up on the hilltop, the mountaintop. Almost, it's not quite the mountaintop, right?
We're getting at the foot there.
Hilltop. And you're also performing November 11th at the Colony Cafe with Catskills' Amy Rigby. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Sound. Why is sound so powerful?
Well, audio gives you this ability to fill in the imagination and the visual aspect yourself. It sort of inspires visualization in a way that's not quite as didactic as photography. And this idea comes from the artist Tony Coates, who recently spoke at MPAC in Troy. And he had this really brilliant and beautiful discussion about on-the-spot conceptualizations that can happen with audio and with sound and storytelling done over audio that don't always happen with photography or film.
Tony Coates also went into his sound often contradicts his visuals as a way to disrupt our associations and put us in this environment where we have to question the feeling that we have. How do you relate to that?
Yeah, I think sensory experiences really are a way to confront our assumptions about any environment. My background is in food and taste and smell, but I also have really been interested in audio more recently and radio formats. as this way to kind of disrupt the way that we experience space and environment, because we so often are trained to understand them in a really visual vernacular.
And I'd love to introduce you. I'm speaking with Allie Wist for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. And so you're working on your arts PhD at RPI, and we'll have you back to talk about your research. But I am interested in talking with you about exploring sound. And you co-founded a futurist art and culture radio show. I said Mutamor, and you corrected me. How do you say it?
Mutamor.
Mutamor. What should listeners know about this project?
So Mutamor, the word that is tricky to pronounce, is Latin. And it comes from a phrase, tempora mutaner nos et mutamor in illis, which I'm also probably butchering. But that phrase means times change and we change with them. So the impetus for the show is really to look at change over time and speculation, especially from an artist's point of view, and use the sort of daytime talk show format to explore alternative futures. And I co-founded this show with two other artists, A.M. Bang and Christian Hendricks, and it has generously been hosted by Montez Press Radio for 3 years now, actually.
So what is an alternative future?
Well, you know, so many narratives around futurism in the mainstream media are dominated by technophilia and masculinity and often anthropocentrism. Of course, there are really beautiful and brilliant stories by folks like Octavia Butler, Ursula K. Le Guin, who tell other stories. And I say other in this really wonderful way that they embrace non-binary experiences of nature versus culture, of gender, of multi-species collaborations. And so we really wanted to explore, you know, art, speculation, and fiction as other ways of imagining futures, and even as other forms of cognition, you know, like very actual, real, valid ways to understand our world, not just storytelling, but forms of epistemology.
Can you give some examples of some of the programs that are part of this?
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorites was Tips on How to Stop Thinking Like a Human. And we go through all kinds of different forms of non-human intelligence and ways in the future that we might be a little less anthropocentric in our definitions of intelligence and explore feeling and thinking like an octopus or like slime mold. Another was, we did two episodes recently on the idea of utopias, and one was called How to Build a Broken Utopia, because they so often fail by their very sort of assertion that they're going to be a utopia and solve some sort of social ill. And so we kind of looked at the ways in which architecture and ecology intersect with these sort of like human notions of perfect futures and where they fail or fall apart.
Mm. We first met at the recent Ruderal Ecologies 2, which was also very much of talking about not, you know, nature, that humans are a part of nature, where we often discuss the separation of the two of them. What were some of the things you took away from the conference?
Oh, wow. There were so many things. That conference was really wonderfully inspiring. I think some of the decolonial methodology that was introduced was incredibly powerful and helpful. I think especially Max Liberon's notion of not focusing exclusively on damage